You're listening to Dr. Al Garza on Bible Answers Radio.
All right, welcome to my podcast, More Than a Rabbi, brought to you by Bible Answers. I am your host, Al Garza. And today we're going to be talking about the great debate. We're going to give an overview of what this podcast will be about. We're going to talk about the great debate between Jews and Christians, the understanding of Yeshua Jesus from different Christian groups and sects that are out there, as well as within the different idea within Islam, Judaism, the identity or the understanding of the Messiah within Judaism. Did Yeshua Jesus fit their own descriptions of who the Messiah was to be according to their own Jewish sources? Does Yeshua Jesus fit the description of the Messiah according to the Hebrew Scriptures, and even from the Hebrew Scriptures as understood by the Jews themselves? We need to look at this because this is going to be very important to our discussion. This is the great debate that's been going on for 2,000 years. On the identity of the Jewish Messiah, the understanding and the identity of the Jewish Messiah. Now, my book is coming out this summer, and it's going to be called, roughly, hopefully before the summer, and it's going to be called, of course, More Than a Rabbi, Understanding the Identity of the Jewish Messiah. And I'm going to be looking into Jewish sources, the Hebrew Scriptures, the New Testament. We're going to be diving into the understanding of the Messiah within Judaism, the Hebrew Bible, and of course, how Christianity has kind of changed the identity of the Messiah enough where Yeshua Jesus has become to be looked at as a Greek Messiah to the nations rather than the Jewish Messiah who was the light to the nations. And that's a great distinction. I know this because I grew up in a Christian home. Even though my mother is a Jewish Italian, my father is Hispanic. I spent 30 years in academic research independently, of course, in my own independent research, studying the scriptures, completing my academic schooling. The last 3 years, I just finished the linguistic certification program for associate scholar at Hebrew University's Institute of Biblical Studies. But if you want to know more about me, go to my website, dralgarza.org. You can look at my books that I've written, look at my background. But my book will be coming out hopefully by summertime regarding this topic. So I decided to do an iTunes podcast on my coming up book to kind of get it out there. Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions within Christianity, even in Judaism, about who Yeshua Jesus really is. And I say this because I have come from both sides. I have known Yeshua Jesus from the Greek Western perspective, and I've also in the last 15 years come to know him as the Jewish Messiah who has come for his people as the Messiah and then has rejected, accepted, and received by the nations. So I've seen both sides, and yes, I do have my own personal beliefs and concepts and ideas about who Yeshua Jesus is. It's more in line with Christianity with some slight changes, and I say that because, again, I have good friends who come from different positions within Christianity about who Jesus is, and even within the academic world. I mean, there's some people out there who believe, who have more of a Hellenistic Jesus view, and what that means is that they look at Yeshua Jesus as more of a Greek Jew, a Hellenistic type of Jew. And they don't even realize it. I mean, it's fascinating to me because they hold on, of course, that the New Testament was written originally in Greek, even though Yeshua Jesus, a mother tongue and language, and that he spoke to his disciples, to the Pharisees and scribes and everybody else, was in Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew, but they believe everything was written down in Greek, which is a complete opposite language. And that fits more of a Hellenistic point of view. So when they quote Jesus, they quote him in Greek. They quote the apostles in Greek and everybody else. And so they have this Hellenistic view of Yeshua Jesus, which to me is completely false, misleading, based on the evidence that I have seen as an independent research scholar. And I'm going to be bringing this evidence out, of course, in all my future broadcasts here on my podcast. So we first got to understand, in looking at who Yeshua Jesus is that he was a Jew. First and foremost, come from the tribe of Judah. according to the genealogy of Matthew and Luke, you know, all the way back to King David. Now, there are controversies of this of the genealogy, of course. I think there are what some some Jewish non-believers, rabbis of today, point out the contradictions between Matthew and Luke. Well, yeah, I agree. If you're looking at it in the Greek or the Aramaic text or Latin text or English text, there seems to be two different genealogies. Well, unfortunately, the resolution comes in the Hebrew Gospels of Matthew, which are out there, which actually solve this debate. There are two Hebrew chapter 1 texts found, in one in Oxford and one in New York, and they both contain a different version of Matthew chapter 1, where it states, I think in the Greek and then even the English, it states that, you know, Joseph, the husband of Mary, which confirms Luke. But in these two independent Hebrew chapter 1 Matthews, it reads Joseph, the father of Mary. So what it's saying is that Mary's lineage is going through her father back to King David, and of course Luke is recording Joseph, the husband of Mary, back to King David. So, which makes sense, since Matthew is writing, as the early church father said, in Hebrew. And he's tracing Mary's lineage through her father back to King David. By the way, her father also had the name Joseph, which was a common name in the first century. So we see this type of corrections in the Hebrew against the Greek and other languages, Latin and even our English. And in doing so, we need to understand that this is because, again, this is a first century Jew, Yeshua Jesus, who was a rabbi. And we're going to talk about him and more than a rabbi in our future episodes in this podcast. But first and foremost, he was a rabbi, called a rabbi, a teacher, a great teacher who spoke Hebrew. So everything in the New Testament or the Greek New Testament was a translation of what he said in his mother tongue. That's plain and simple. Even if you really believe that his apostles and everybody wrote in Greek originally, which I don't, then of course you have to say his parables and everything that he spoke were in Hebrew. And it's a translation, the Greek is a translation of that Hebrew. And we know this because rabbinic parables in the first century, going down from that point on, are rabbinic parables spoken to the disciples were always spoken in Hebrew. We have this in rabbinic literature today. They're found only in Hebrew. They're not found in Aramaic or Greek or any other language, because it was the common practice to teach the disciples in the Hebrew language and using parables. And we see this. We also see evidence of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Hebrew manuscripts that were found, the Hebrew text that first century, Hebrew was a spoken language among the Jews and a very common language. And we see this in the New Testament, of course. You know, when they put the sign above his head, it was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Yeshua Jesus in Acts 20, I believe it is, or 21, Paul says that Yeshua spoke to him in Hebrew. Paul speaks to his brethren in Acts in Hebrew. In fact, it was one of the soldiers when they approached Paul, when Paul spoke to him in Greek in Acts, the soldier was shocked that he spoke Greek. He says, "You speak Greek?" He was surprised that Paul, being a Pharisee and a Jew, spoke Greek. He was shocked. You know, Paul did. Paul did speak Greek. His mother tongue was Hebrew. He spoke Greek. He spoke Aramaic as also Pharisee and other languages, maybe even Latin. So did Yeshua. Yeshua Jesus also, being his common language Hebrew, his mother tongue, probably knew Aramaic as a rabbi, knew Greek, maybe even Latin. But when he spoke to his people, he's come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he comes to the Jews, he speaks to them in Hebrew. And this is what we understand. Everything after that is a translation of what he said. So I think it's very important that we see Yeshua Jesus as who he really was in the first century, speaking to his disciples in the historical context, not in what we would like him to be, because we have to adapt to a more Greek-cultured mindset. And even when Yeshua Jesus told the Pharisees, and I look at this in John chapter 7, when he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he's telling that he's going to go away, and they say to him, of course, the Jews, let's see what Jesus says to the Pharisees, "For a little while longer I am with you. Then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me, and where I am you cannot come." The Jews then said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go, that we shall not find him? Is he not intending to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, is he?" So they thought he was going to go to the Hellenistic Jews, Jews like Philo and from Alexandria, the Greek speaking Jews, and go teach them. This is why you see even in Acts 6, you have the Greeks, the Hellenists, the Jews who were adapted Greek culture, and it says and the Hebrews, that there was, you know, division among them. Because again, these were the Jews of Alexandria, the Jews who adapted the Greek language, the culture, and of course, but they're Jews, and of course the Hebrews are the Hebrew speaking Jews. There's a distinction even made in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. So this can't be ignored. I'm afraid a lot of my Christian brothers and a lot of Christian friends ignore this and ignore the fact that the Greek and Latin and Aramaic and our English Bibles, German Bibles, are all translations of what Yeshua said and taught in parables and teachings to the disciples, keeping with the historical context of who he was. And so this great debate among who Yeshua is, this is why there's a debate among Christians and Jews, because Jews, modern Jews, rabbis who are not believers in Yeshua Jesus, they understand who the Messiah is from their Jewish perspective and from the Hebrew scriptures, and they look at the Christians as adapting a Greek paganistic Messiah, Christ, they say, that's fine for them but not for the Jews, and therefore they look at that Greek aspect and reject the Greek Jesus of the Christian faith. Not understanding and knowing on either side that Yeshua Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. We're going to discuss about his identity as Son of Man, Son of God. We're going to discuss the virgin birth, the resurrection, the divine origin or the divine preexistence of the Messiah as the eternal word and all those things in future episodes. But this debate has been going on for 2,000 years. And because the Christian world, even within the Roman Catholic Church, so the Greek and Latin fathers, and going to the Catholic, the Reformers, all identify Yeshua Jesus in a Greek way, in a Western Greek mindset, ignoring the roots of the Christian faith being a Jewish. You know, the idea in Acts 13 that the nations, the Gentiles, will receive salvation, that the Messiah will be the light to the nations, and that He will bring them in and they will be grafted in. The Gentiles are grafted in by faith. They are now adopted and into the seed of Abraham's covenant by faith. And this is what many Christians fail to understand. And we need to kind of lay that foundation. Yeshua Jesus was a Jew. Plain and simple. And that's not debatable. His mother tongue was Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew. Everything else is a translation. I'm sorry, even if you believe everything was written in Greek in the New Testament, it's still a translation, and we need to get back to the foundations of the faith, of the Jewish faith, regarding what he said and taught and did in accordance to the Hebrew scriptures and the Torah and the prophets. So we need to really get this understanding. And in this podcast, I'm hoping to really break that dividing wall and show that Yeshua, not only is he just, of course, he's a Jewish Messiah, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah that Israel really needs, but he's also the light and Messiah to the nations, but he's still Jewish. He didn't change his identity, and that the nations are grafted in, they're adopted into this faith and the seed of Abraham into eternal life, into the world to come, and taking part in the resurrection. And we need to understand the works of the Messiah, the miracles he did, that he performed are for us even for today. That as the apostles perform these things in the name of Yeshua Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, we need to understand that we have these things available to us today in the Messiah, in the Father. And we're going to be talking about all these things. We're going to talk about how we ourselves, whether you're Jew or not, or Gentile, or however you want to say, non-Jew, uncircumcised, circumcised, we all have access to the Father through Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah. And we all have access to what he has in eternal life for us in the future of the world to come at the resurrection of the dead. And we need to understand that, because there's wholeness and completeness in the Messiah. And without him, we don't have that. We will not have peace and shalom and wholeness. We will not be able to take part in the world to come at the resurrection. So we need him, and we're going to find out that he is who he said he was. We're going to learn that the Gospels speak about him in a way that a lot of Christians aren't familiar with. A lot of Jews aren't accepting, because they don't read the New Testament. because they think because it was written in Greek, as Western scholars say it is, that they don't want no part of that Greek. But yet understand that Matthew, as the early church father said, was written in Hebrew. And even we have Hebrew Gospels that, you know, that we can confirm that were written closer to the first century based on what it says. We have early church fathers like Jerome, when he compared the Hebrew and the Greek and their differences. We have Hebrew Gospels that are being studied by independent research scholars today that that show those differences that Jerome spoke about regarding the name Barabbas versus Baraban, or how the temple was destroyed, split in two by the curtain at the resurrection, at Jesus' death, and how that was split. Those differences and other key things are found in these Hebrew Gospels that Jerome spoke about. We have pages of Hebrew texts of Revelation and James and Jude that are being studied today. So they can't be ignored. We can't ignore these possibilities just because we want to hold to a biased Greek text. And for someone to judge another Christian or another brother, another person who believes because they might have a different opinion about the Greek text, doesn't mean that they can say they're not Christians or they're heretics or this or other nonsense. We have a difference of opinion upon how the New Testament was put together, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, and we should have difference of opinion. That's how we come to the truth, by researching and studying and for our own selves working it out before God the Father and Yeshua Jesus. But we need to understand that the New Testament, no matter how you look at it, has authority behind it and how it's written. Now, we can talk about whether it's the inspired Greek translation of the word copies, because if you don't believe it was written in Greek originally, then it becomes a translation and it can't be inspired word for word, because if the inspired word was Hebrew written, then the Greek is just a translation. It can't be inspired. It can be preserved. The Greek can be considered a preserved copy by God, just like the English is preserved copy, the Latin, the German copies. All translations are preserved and give us the gospel message in that preserved language. The Hebrew Old Testament, what's called the Hebrew Old Testament, which is known as the Tanakh, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, these are copies of what was written. So if the prophets, of course, wrote Hebrew and in Hebrew, and it was copied in Hebrew, we have all the way from the Dead Sea Scrolls, these preserved Hebrew copies. We also have you can look at the Aleppo and the Leningrad Codex, copies of the Hebrew by the tradition of the Jews writing them down. Everything else becomes a translation. Even the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, are a translation. And most Jews don't accept translations anymore. They want the copies of what they believe go back to an original source. Well, if Yeshua Jesus spoke Hebrew and it was translated into Greek, it's still a translation. It's not. It can't be a inspired original source, because we don't have the Hebrew of what he said written down. We can translate back and look at the Hebrew text and all that. But again, these are preserved copies by God with the authority of the gospel message in them. So whether you're looking at it as an inspired text, well, then you have to hold to a Greek original in order to do that, because these are Greek copies of a Greek original written by the apostle's hand. But if you look at like even Matthew written in Hebrew originally, as the church father said, then you can't say Matthew is an inspired original copy of or original copy Greek, because he wrote in Hebrew, not Greek. So it's still a translation. And all the words of Yeshua Jesus are a translation in Greek, not from the original Hebrew, as spoken of him being a rabbi. So again, this is what we have to come to. We have to be careful how we look at the text. We have to keep everything in its historical context of what's being said in the first century, not just futurizing everything that we read, including putting ourselves into the text, as some people do. Just because it says you doesn't mean you, the reader. It could be speaking of you, the Jews, you, the Pharisees, you, the apostles. So we have to keep everything in its historical context first. The Jews used a method called Pardes, which is a Jewish hermeneutic. You find this method in the Gospels. You find it being used by Paul in the epistles. It's used in the Hebrew scriptures and by Jewish sources using it to interpret. Pardes was the Jewish hermeneutic of the day of the first century. And we're going to look at the text. We're going to see this in Jewish sources. We're talking about the Messiah, how they identified the Messiah using Pardes and number of texts in the Hebrew Bible. So again, the great debate, who was Yeshua Jesus in the first century? we need to come to an understanding of who he was as a Jew and a rabbi, and how he was more than a rabbi. And that's what we have to look at. So in our future podcast here on iTunes, we're going to be diving in deep in rabbinic and Jewish literature, Hebrew sources, Hebrew texts, the New Testament. We're going to look at the words of Yeshua Jesus himself and of the apostles and of Paul himself. We're going to go into these areas, identify who he was. Is a virgin birth? Is that a Jewish idea and concept of the Messiah coming through a virgin birth, or the resurrection, Messiah resurrecting and having to die and be resurrected? You know, the miracles of the Messiah, looking at Isaiah 53 and all the, and then the Torah of Moses, looking at the prophets and the writings, we need to examine how they saw the Messiah in the Hebrew scriptures up leading up to the time of Yeshua Jesus himself in the first century, and how the early church took it. And because they abandoned the Jewish and Hebrew roots of their faith, made Jesus into more of a Greek Hellenistic Jew rather than a Jewish rabbi of the first century. Again, this is what we have to deal with. And again, if you disagree, that's okay. You know, we can have disagreements. If you want to contact me, you can go to my website, dralgarza.org. Email me there, and I'll be glad to respond, bring up issues on this broadcast. But my position has been something that I've been looked at for 30 years, coming from both sides and realizing the Western Greek mindset did not have a foundation of where our faith really truly came from. So we're going to be looking at this in great detail in future podcasts. So please subscribe to this podcast, follow. You'll get alerts on future upcoming podcasts going deeper into these issues. And again, these are based on my upcoming book that will be released 2019 around summertime. And it's entitled, of course, More Than a Rabbi, Understand the Identity of the Jewish Messiah. And it'll be available across, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, across the internet, different bookstores. So this is what we're going to look at. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Please subscribe and tune in to other shows that are coming up. If you have any questions, definitely go to my website, dralgarza.org. And I want to say thank you for listening. God bless. And stay tuned for more of More Than a Rabbi.